Let's start today's episode with a greeting. Merry Christmas, everyone. Christmas Eve will happen on Sunday, followed by Christmas Day on Monday, and doggone it if it doesn't look like another year has flown by at light speed. That seems to be something of a truism that's tied to getting older, doesn't it? I'd be willing to bet, dollars to donuts, that for your average 8-year-old, the march to Christmas still happens at a pace that makes glaciers look rapid by comparison. What do you remember about your own childhood and Christmas, for those who are, like me, something like a half-century old or older? I remember the path to Christmas was something of a process. Christmas catalogs from the major companies, JCPenney, Montgomery Ward, and Sears, remember those? Arrived in late summer, August if my memory is correct. Those catalogs provided the fodder to let us kids know what existed, what we lacked, and what we wanted in the way of toys. And boy howdy, what an eye-opener that always was. Following the receiving of the catalogs came the campaign season, whereby we petitioned our parents, begged really, for all those many magnificent baubles we just couldn't live without. That was followed by the inexorable wait for actual Christmas Eve or day, depending on how your family celebrated. 12 days of Christmas? Yeah, right. It felt more like the 12 years leading up to Christmas. My buddies and I all thought we'd be on Social Security before Christmas finally got to us. But, in the end, it always did, and some of those years were quite memorable, while others were less so. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I don't know what it's like for today's kid. Truly, I don't. Maybe for the younger ones, it's still something of a long-distance march to get to the 24th. Maybe not. My two daughters who are still at home will still pass along written wish list of things they'd like to have, at my prodding anyway. Not really sure where they get the items on their list. I'll bet there hasn't been a catalog of the magnitude we had in decades. Cabela's puts out a nice one, but that's geared more towards adults than kids. The catalogs of my youth had a whole section in the back that just screamed out to its target audience, kids. Today let's consider things of a Christmas nature, on the cusp of yet another Christmas. This episode may take on something of a hodgepodge approach, but I'll do what I can to tie it to the outdoors, where I'm able. Let's kick things off with an item that is likely the centerpiece of any decorating you may have done in your home, the Christmas tree. As a Peanuts fan, I've always been a fan of the tree that Charlie Brown made famous, and it was a real tree. A difficult decision for many is what type of tree to go with. A real tree, such as that, or an artificial tree. I'm a fan of real trees, by the way, though we have a fake one in our home, a concession to the ease of care such provides. Within my family and during my own childhood, I saw both sides of this issue. My mom was a staunch proponent of fake trees. My grandparents were equally adamant about real trees. I'm not going to try and tell you which direction you should go. That's a personal decision. Nor am I going to launch into the advantages and disadvantages of each. That alone could probably use up the time it takes for a whole episode. I will say that my grandparents exerted far greater influence over me, with regards to pretty much anything, than Mom did, and that's likely why I prefer real trees today. I will concede that the artificial trees being sold today look so much more real than fake trees did when I was a kid, that maybe they're not such a bad thing. In fact, I saw one article about fake trees that said the fake trees of yesteryear were essentially one big green toilet brush. Having spent my entire youth helping Mom put up our family tree, I can't disagree with that assessment. I'm convinced that any branch from it would have done yeoman's work at cleaning the toilet bowl. For those of you like me who prefer the look of a real tree, well, what kind of tree do you have up? Because of how remote we are, and because so many trees are literally right outside our door, a lot of people simply head out on snow machine and cut their own tree and haul it home. If that's you, there's a pretty good chance that what you have in your living room is a black spruce, as that's the dominant species of conifer found around our area. Black spruces are found throughout most of Alaska. They are partial to wet soils and bogs, and they're very middle of the road in size, as conifers go, reaching top heights of about 60 feet. The bark is thin and scaly and ranges from gray to almost black. They are also something of an irregular conifer. What I mean by that is they can have more of a scraggly look to them than some other species of conifers. As such, while there are plenty of them out there, finding a good one to serve as a Christmas tree, if appearances are what you strive for, can take a bit of looking. Now, if you're okay with the Charlie Brown type of tree, it's likely you'll find something acceptable a whole lot easier. Once a tree is in place, well, I've got to believe that's already the case for something like over 95% of you, you need to be thinking about what's going to go under the tree, the gifts you'll give and maybe possibly receive. Frankly, I think those with a passion for outdoor sports make some of the easiest people to buy presents for, though my wife seems to differ with me on that. For the outdoor enthusiast, there is typically an endless list of items to cover a very broad cost spectrum, from the inexpensive, such as Vibrax spinners or boxes of ammunition, to those with a much bigger price tag, like a new hunting rifle or snow machine. At the low end, a friend once gave me camo toilet paper that's engineered to a rapid rate of biodegradation. How cool is that? Some small, inexpensive items can also fall into the realm of stocking stuffers, such as those boxes of ammunition, a new pocket knife, or fire starter. By the way, ever wonder why we hang stockings? I've read a couple different stories about where that tradition originated. One story, from the Scandinavian parts of the world, holds that it was Odin who used to deliver gifts, and the stockings were hung up and left with treats for his flying horse to eat. Odin would then replace the horse treats with gifts and candy. Another story says that stockings were hung by the chimney to dry out, and St. Nicholas began leaving gifts in them. Whatever their origins, stockings make great places to drop in a bit of candy, and useful but small items like flashlights, camouflage duct tape, or spools of new fishing line. And let's not forget who's hauling a lot of those gifts. Santa Claus. There are all sorts of tales for how Santa came to be. Irrespective of which is true, or if portions of several are true, I know this. I take hope from the idea of Santa, and here's why. He's a fat, bearded guy who gets around well for his age, and he's generally pretty well thought of. Let me shed a little more light on why I think that. He clearly has a lot of years under his ample belt, and yet he seems to stay in pretty good shape, despite the girth that that belt of his encircles. His home is purportedly in a far north location. As such, I'd argue that the bulk of his diet is protein-based, and that he has a hard time scoring any fresh fruits or vegetables. I'm thinking Full Circle Farms doesn't provide service that far north. Given that, let's put those relatively solid facts together. Santa is an older individual. From pictures, he appears to have issues with his weight, like many of us do, but he still leads a very active outdoor lifestyle. And he's able to pull this off while sticking to a diet that's heavy on meats and sweets. Keep in mind all those cookies. And again, relying on photo evidence, he's got a magnificent beard. Truly Santa's someone I can relate to. A veritable pudgy pillar of a role model, if ever there was one. He should also be considered a role model for those who are into green energy. Fact is, he's been at it so long that he's really more of a trendsetter in that regard. Why do I say that? Because of his dependence on reindeer for transportation. No carbon emissions there, though I suppose there might be methane issues, depending on what he feeds them. To key in on a bit of actual science, do you know what the difference is between a reindeer and a caribou? It was kind of on my mind anyway, because I did a class presentation over that very thing a couple of weeks ago. While there are some physical differences, such as cow reindeer typically have larger antlers than cow caribou, or reindeer bulls normally being a bit smaller than caribou bulls, the biggest difference is that reindeer are domesticated. Also, only across North America do we refer to the wild versions of this animal as caribou. Across Europe and Asia, the animals that we call reindeer and caribou are just simply called reindeer, and classified as either domesticated or wild. Ultimately, I'm sure most of us are aware of one similarity. They're both pretty darn tasty. Frankly, at this stage of my life, the joy of Christmas is largely contained in two things. One is the meaning of the holiday as it pertains to my faith, which I'll steer clear of that whole separation of church and state stuff, and me being on the company dime while doing this show. The other is the joy I get in watching my kids enjoy Christmas, and in seeing if dear old dad did okay in coming up with gift ideas. A few days from now, I'll get the chance to see that again, to see if the things my wife and I have provided bring the same sorts of smiles to our daughters that once danced across to my own face so many years ago. Here's hoping you see the same sorts of smiles in your homes. For myself and my colleagues at Togiak Refuge, here's wishing everyone a safe and wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.